Hello and welcome to this week's Artscast Extra. Today I'm here with Rebecca Vaughan from Dyad Theatre Company. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
Wonderful. So at the moment you're currently touring Austen's Women, which sounds like a
Yes.
fascinating piece.
Oh, it's great fun. It's so much fun to tour. The show's actually been touring on and off for about 6 years. Dyad Productions have seven shows on tour at the moment, and this was the very first one that we ever created. And yes, it's been sort of touring on and off, but it's so wonderful to sort of keep on touring it. There seems to be such a kind of demand for Austen's work and interest in it, so it's really good fun.
Has the production changed much since you first started?
Yes, absolutely. I think any theatre production, if it has a chance to kind of have a slightly kind of longer shelf life, it will sort of automatically evolve. And that's the really wonderful thing about theatre performance, as opposed to, say, sort of television or film, that it is a sort of living thing. As I go away and work on other shows and then come back to it, I'm always finding new things in it. And I change as a performer. Obviously, I change as a woman over the years. And I find new things in all these characters. I find new things in the pieces themselves. So yes, it's certainly evolved. And I think that were I ever to become bored of it, I would stop doing it. But I absolutely love it. It's so much fun, and it's so great to kind of bring Austen to sort of audiences that love her already, but also new audiences as well. Last week, in fact, I did a performance, and a woman had booked tickets for her and her mother as a kind of an early Mother's Day present. And I got a wonderful message from her saying, "Do you know what? I didn't really like Jane Austen much before. I've never really read any of her work. I bought it for my mum, but now I'm completely sold. It was a complete treat, and now I'm going to go and read some of her novels." And I thought, "Wow, that is job done." So
Wow,
yes,
fantastic.
it's really good fun.
Yeah, that's amazing. That must be amazing to hear as a performer.
It's wonderful. It's all I can ask for, really, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you an Austen fan?
I am, actually. I mean, I first read Emma when I was 15, and I absolutely loved it. I was fascinated by the character of Emma herself, the fact that she was so flawed and she kept getting things wrong. And even at the end of the novel, she's still on that journey. And I think I loved how flawed all of Jane Austen's characters were, that they aren't perfect. I mean, even if you look at sort of Pride and Prejudice, the actual title itself is about the hero and the heroine. One has too much pride and one has too much prejudice. And it's about everyone trying to kind of make sense of their lives. And I really loved that. I also really adored Austen's own very, very witty sort of narrative voice. As a teenager, when I sort of discovered her and discovered that she was quite sort of ironic and sarcastic, I absolutely loved that, as you do when you're sort of 15. And I think that was sort of my way in. And then I realised there was actually so much more to her. She was a brilliant observer of the world around her. So yeah, I'm a big Austen fan.
And you don't just cover the well-known characters. You explore some of the perhaps less liked characters or likable characters.
Yes, well, and both the less likable characters and the less well-known characters. I was very interested in the idea of creating a show that wasn't just for one group of either people who had never read Austen before, or people who knew everything about it, or indeed people that sort of just kind of like Lizzie Bennet and maybe, I don't know, Marianne Dashwood. That I kind of wanted to get the greatest hits, if you will, you know, the women that people would hope to sort of see represented. But I also wanted to show actually how brilliant some of her lesser known work is. Between the ages of 15 and 19, she wrote what we call now her Juvenilia, and it's very funny and very brilliant. So I've got a couple of pieces, a great character called Mary Stanhope from a piece called The Three Sisters. So I've got that in there. That she also, when she died, she was in the middle of writing a novel called Sanderton when she was 41. And it's obviously massively unfinished. There's only about 80, 85 pages of it. But it's absolutely brilliant. And a lot of people say that if she had finished it, it would have been her absolute masterpiece. It's very different from her other work. And there's some great characters in there. So I wanted to include a great character, Diana Parker, from there as well. In her more famous novels, there's some great characters that are a sort of a less well-known. Mrs. Norris from Mansfield Park is just brilliant. And again, I wanted to kind of show that whole the gamut of the female experience, really. So yeah, I wanted a bit of everything.
Who's your favourite character portray?
Oh, now I know this is going to sound like a cop out, but Actually, it's not that I don't have a favourite. I think it's that they are all my favourites in different ways. And I go through phases of having different favourites. I think when I first came to do the piece, it was often the characters I sometimes knew the best. And then I would discover little tiny sort of pockets or secrets about a particular character and think, oh no, she's brilliant. And it is, I think my favourite thing about the whole show really is that I have the chance to play the variety of 13 different characters. And I think it's almost in some ways the coming together of all of them together that make the show such an enjoyable one to perform. And I absolutely love it. And I really do. I may sound like I'm waxing lyrical, but having coming back to the show before 2 weeks ago, I hadn't done it for about 6 months. And just coming back, even just in those 6 months, I've just come back to it with such sort of gusto and so much fun. It's brilliant. I love it.
Amazing. And did you write this piece initially?
Yes, I've well, I mean, it's obviously it's all created from Jane Austen's words,
Yes.
but I adapted it. Yes, I wanted to kind of invent nothing and deny nothing. I didn't know what the piece was going to be. I just knew I kept on reading all of her work and then would sort of see what came to me. And what I was most interested by was the voice of these women. In the last, I'd say 20, 25 years, a lot of Jane Austen's work has become, I think, sort of somewhere in the realm of kind of chick lit in some ways. She's been, she's been made synonymous with the kind of Mr. Darcy in his wet shirt, and it's just about the romance. But actually, it's so much more than that. And in many ways, in the novels, the romance comes out of the fact that what she's really aiming for is a kind of independence on the part of women. And I was so interested in seeing what would be created by hearing these women's voices on their own was really interesting. And so the more I sort of started looking at that, the more the kind of the show almost created itself. But I wanted to keep in the narrator's voice, which you can't really do in film and television adaptations because it just doesn't work. But I was able to do that with theatre. So she, the narrator, I have sort of compiled from all her different narrators, and she is the woman in Austen's Women who sort of tells the story of all these women and becomes them, and she has her own story which runs through the show. So yeah, it's so I did the original adaptation, but it's all created from Austen's words, and I wanted to be faithful to her original idea, I think, as well.
That's amazing. That's such a challenge. Well, it must have been such a challenge.
It was absolutely terrifying. And it is you especially if you're a fan, you know how much these novels and pieces of work mean to people, but and so you don't want to sort of tread over their idea of what it is. But at the same time, I wanted to kind of be radical in the original sense of the word, i.e. going back to the root of these novels and these other works, and say, actually, you know what, we shouldn't forget that Jane Austen is also this. She's also brilliant and insightful and witty and an observer of the world and political. And then actually, if you go back to the novels themselves and just listen to these characters, you can get so much more from them. And so it was terrifying, but also exciting to see if I could pull it off.
Well, clearly you have. That's brilliant. And you've gone on to do other sort of one-woman shows.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this was the first time, and before Austen's Women, I was a sort of, if you will, a normal actor. I'd been doing a lot more sort of a bit bigger tours with loads of other actors on stage, and I started working with a guy, the director of the show, a guy called Guy Masterson, who said, oh, you should do a solo show. And I said, no, that sounds like the most terrifying idea in the whole world. And he said, no, you should give it a go. And I obviously started putting together Austen's Women, and I was absolutely, I mean, the first time I went on stage, it was a very terrifying experience. But then you realise that there's no fourth wall between you and the audience, and the audience become, in so many ways, it's not an interactive show, but they become massively a part of it. They almost become these women's confidants, and they sort of share in the experience that these women are having. And I realised that it was one of the most exciting, intimate forms of theatre. When it works, it's a beautiful thing, and I sort of really fell in love with the form. And so as a result, went back and wrote a piece called I, Elizabeth, which is about the young Elizabeth I, again, all in her own words. And then since then, both myself and the other half of Dyad Productions, Elton Town and Jones, we've created seven, about to be eight, shows, which mostly are solo shows, and there's one two-hander there. But we're really excited by the form and what you can do with it as well. And that it actually, it doesn't just have to be sort of one person relating a memoir, that actually it can be a full theatrical experience with, you know, beautiful lighting plots and sound designs and costume designs, and the whole thing can be a really exciting experience, which is what we're sort of doing with our most recent productions. The more we learn about how solo shows can be put together, yeah. So yeah, lots of work.
That sounds it. So now, would you say that you prefer performing solo or with other actors?
It's really difficult. I think, you know, it's really good fun to do both. I've actually just, the last couple of months, I've been doing a show in Leicester Square in London, which wasn't to do with Dyad, which is directed by Monty Python's Terry Jones, called Jeepers Creepers. And I sort of working with another actor on that. And it's been really fun to play off another actor again on stage. So I can't, you know, it's they're very, very different sort of skill sets. But I have to say, what I do love about Dyad Productions is that I get to sort of be creative from the ground up, not just being a performer. I get to sort of be a real theatre maker as well as a writer. So I think in many ways, sort of as far as sort of satisfaction goes, when you create your own work, like any sort of artist, I suppose, if you're actually creating your own work rather than just being a voice piece of somebody else's, then that is probably the most exciting and satisfying thing, certainly, yes.
Brilliant. Have you read any of Alison Weir's books on Elizabeth?
I have.
Yes.
And I love Alison Weir. Alison Weir, in fact, she, when I came to write I, Elizabeth, I read every biog I could get my hands on just to get some background, sort of sense of what other scholars sort of saw as her personality. But the most interesting one I read was Alison Weir's Elizabeth the Queen.
Yes.
Is that, I don't know if that's the one you're sort of perhaps referring to, but she wrote obviously a couple. But Elizabeth the Queen is an astonishing piece of work. And what I love about Alison Weir is that she uses so much primary source material in her biogs. Every decision she's made is due to sort of facts that have been placed in front of her, which I really love. So no, absolutely. Alison Weir is a history hero of mine.
She is fantastic.
She is, yeah, great.
I've read her, I can't remember what it's called now, her sort of diaries of Elizabeth.
Oh, what, fabulous, fabulous.
Great.
History and literature are my passions. And we've got a couple of other shows that I'm planning, which are sort of based on sort of history research as well. So no, I'm history biographies are one of my favorite things to read, so for fun, if you will. So yeah, no, I'm with you on that one.
Fantastic. Oh, what have you got planned for the future then?
So in the very immediate future, I finished the Austin's Women tour of the UK in on the 1st of April. I then move on to another show that we created about a year and a half ago called Dalloway, which is based on Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway, which is, I absolutely adore that show. So haven't done it for almost a year, so it's quite scary to go back to it, but I'm really looking forward to that. And that tours around the UK throughout the whole of April. Then in May, I go back to Austin's Women, but taking that to Sydney, as part of the Sydney Writers Festival. Then in June, I'm touring I, Elizabeth across the UK. And then after that, we go into rehearsals for our new show, which is a very exciting adaptation of Jane Eyre. Yeah, I'm kind of scared and excited again in equal measure. It's going back to Bronte's original title, which was the full title, I should say, which is Jane Eyre, an Autobiography. When it was first published, she obviously was writing under her pen name, Currer Bell. But she actually didn't say that Currer Bell had actually written it. She said it was edited by Currer Bell. So the whole thing was actually published as a real autobiography. Wow. About a woman called Jane Eyre. And when you read it in that context, you realise how clever that is. And actually, there is no fourth wall between Jane and the reader, that she is talking directly to the reader at all times. So suddenly it became really exciting to us that actually this would be a perfect idea for a solo show. that everything is filtered through her eyes, just as in the novel. So yes, so we are currently working on that, which will be premiering at the Edinburgh Festival at Assembly this August, and then touring the country from next spring, pretty much throughout the whole of next year. So that's what that's in the immediate future. And we're also going to be doing next year a new version of The Time Machine as well. So yes, a few adaptations, but I've got a few for further on beyond that. I've got a few sort of original pieces. We both got a few original pieces planned as well. So yeah, lots of things in the pipeline.
That's so exciting.
Very much so.
Finally, this is a bit of a silly question, but if you had to live in the time period from one of the women from any of your shows, which time period would you choose to live in?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a hard question.
Yeah.
From any of our shows, that is hard. Oh gosh. So I mean, to kind of run through what we've got here, we've got in the first show, Austen's Women obviously is Georgianor Regency, the Georgianor Regency period. Then we've got I, Elizabeth, which is obviously Elizabethan. Then we had The Diaries of Adam and Eve, which is a Mark Twain piece, a kind of comedy, a relationship comedy based on the first man and the first woman. So I don't even know where you would place that historically. Then I've got a show called Female Gothic, and it's follow-up actually a couple of years later called Christmas Gothic, which is Victorian and Edwardian ghost stories, sort of some for Halloween and some for Christmas. So that would be late Victorian. Then we've got The Unremarkable Death of Marilyn Monroe, which isn't myself in it, but that is obviously, that's 1962. It's the year she died, or the night before she died. Then I've got Dalloway, which is 1923. So, oh, and then I suppose if you include Jane Eyre, that's 1847. So gosh, that's a big choice. I suppose, but if it was also to be the woman, I think it would, I would have to experience what it would be like to be Elizabeth I. And certainly I'd love to see what Elizabethan England was like.
Yeah.
Having said that though, the more and more research I did for Dalloway, the interwar period and the 1920s seem like such an interesting time for Britain with everything changing. I mean, the whole world just changed. The class structure, the economic structure, the working structure, everything changed sort of after the First World War and before the Second World War. And so that's also a fascinating period to see sort of in, if you could be a time traveller and actually go back and see what that looked like and felt like and smelt like and everything. So I think I'd be torn between 1923 and sort of, you know, the 1560s.
That's quite a gap.
It is quite a gap. Yes.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Rebecca.
No worries at all. Lovely to chat to you. Thank you.